This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Alright, and good morning. Welcome to another Tuesday edition of The Blitz, live here on Fan Run Radio, FM 105.7, WKGN AM 1340, Chance Collins and Charlie Collier back behind the booth with you today for the next couple of hours. Big day. It's a big day. Lots of items to get to. Lots of things happening in the sports world, especially college football, the NBA. A lot of happenings over the last 24 hours. And, of course, we got fall camp starting tomorrow here in East Tennessee for your Tennessee Vols as they prepare for the 2021 season. Nice day outside, Charlie.
Beautiful day. We got the 80s.
Yeah.
All week long, partly cloudy, beautiful weather.
Yeah, not too hot. Last night we had the first time in probably about a week or so, because we've had some really hot temperatures where it dropped down into like the 60s last night.
Last night felt wonderful.
It was marvelous.
It's a big day though. It's pad day.
Yep.
In the NFL, they officially put on pads today, and now it is time for every NFL fan to spend the next 4.5 weeks, roughly, just crossing your fingers and praying that your best players don't get hurt. Basically.
Oh yeah.
That is all. Training camp is to me is, can we avoid the cataclysmic injury?
Yeah, like you say, you got training camp. They're putting on the pads. It's a brittle time for fans to like you say, worried about. Hopefully that you're one of your top players on your favorite team doesn't get hurt. Hey, hopefully one of your top players on your fantasy leagues, if you got some keepers going on, they don't get hurt as well. It's a great time for sports. This merging of when NFL training camp starts, we got fall camp and college football starting. It's a really good time for us.
We've been really lucky this offseason that Tennessee baseball made the run they did and got us into
– we didn't have a downtime.
Yeah, they got us into June, and then, we have the Olympics in July, the playoffs in the NHL and the NBA started at a later date. It's been a good summer.
Yeah, somebody asked me the other day. They said, "Well, what do you guys do when there's no basketball going on? There's Tennessee basketball." I was like, "Well, the NFL is pretty much a 24/7, 365 day cycle now, so that helps out a lot." And like you say, with the way basketball ended at a later time and the run by the baseball Vols, we had a period of maybe a week where it was like, "Oh, it's tough to get some topics, tough to get some content out here." But for the most part, I mean, it's been full on.
I think back to COVID, though.
Well, yeah, COVID.
And for the life of me, I can't remember what we talked about every day.
COVID? We had a fun time.
I know we had a good time, but I don't know what we were doing.
We talked a lot about COVID. I mean, a lot of different polls. We talked about the future of sports.
We talked about ostriches.
Yes, yes. Bigfoot, aliens.
More fun animal facts.
Okay.
Kangaroos, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are... I think there are 12 kangaroos. It's either 4 or 12. Drastic difference, I know. But
yeah, that's a drastic difference.
Drastic difference. I think it's 12. There are 12 kangaroos for every person in the country.
Of Australia?
Uruguay.
Well, Uruguay, oh. A lot of kangaroos out there.
So if somebody wanted to organize it, you could probably take over Uruguay with just an army of nothing but kangaroos, because that means every citizen of Uruguay, from infant to elderly, would have to single-handedly take care of 12 kangaroos.
You think you could fight a kangaroo?
No, not 12 of them.
I'm saying even one.
Probably not. I mean, have you seen the movie Kangaroo Jack?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the kangaroo would beat you down.
Kangaroo Jack, I'm not messing with the kangaroos, yeah.
They're pretty scary.
12 kangaroos for every person in Uruguay. I don't think they'd win. I really don't. Especially if any of those kangaroos are wearing sunglasses, then it's really over.
I know. Hate a kangaroo in sunglasses. Scary sight. So 12 kangaroos for every Uruguayan.
So, I mean, that's like...
So it's the Uruguayans versus the kangaroos over
if
there.
If like five of us just got together, got a couple big ships, loaded them up with every kangaroo in Australia and just sailed over to Uruguay and decided to take over with our army of kangaroos, like if you could just, you know, properly train them on the motive, I don't think Uruguay could fight them off. Just be infiltrated. I mean, they'd just be outnumbered.
Just shoot
too many. Yeah, but... You know, I'm sure, you know, there are people with guns, but there are a lot of people without guns. And, you know, the people without...
I'm not fighting any kangaroo. I'm shooting them.
The people without... the people without guns, they're screwed. They're not beating any of those 12 kangaroos. So then all of a sudden, you know, with the people... They take care of the non-gun Uruguayans. And then, you know, for the gun Uruguayans, it's like 1v80 kangaroos. And I don't know if you're stopping 80 kangaroos with a gun.
Said they're pretty delicious, too.
Kangaroo tastes good?
So apparently.
I'm down.
Australians really don't like to eat them because they're like national emblem, but it says here that a number of chefs over there are now championing kangaroo meat. Delicious.
I mean, they're like,
and it's an environmentally friendly alternative to beef and pork.
They are the...
it just melts in your mouth.
They are the deer... Or they are what deer is to us is what kangaroos are to Australians.
I'll eat deer, though, all day.
And we eat deer. That's what I'm saying. So, like, nah, you know,
no
makes sense
that
kangaroo would taste good.
I actually like deer a lot. It's very good. Deer jerky, deer steaks, deer.
Raw deer.
Deer ribs. You say raw?
Well, no, I didn't say raw.
Oh. Like, ugh. That's nasty.
Definitely not.
You eaten deer before?
Yeah.
Really? Did you like it?
It's a little gamey, but I like it.
Oh, it's gamey. You got to season it right. It's got to be cooked to a perfection. Cook it too long. Not so
like,
great.
I want
to,
like, country fry a deer steak.
I'm sure you can. Just bread that bad boy up, fry it up, and then throw some gravy on that thing.
Some deer gravy?
Yeah. Exactly. Take
the drippings. You ever made deer gravy?
It wouldn't be hard. You just braise it. You take the drippings out of the pan, add a little flour. Boom, boom, boom. A little cream sauce. Wow,
boom,
we
boom,
can do
boom.
It. Yeah, boom, boom, boom. Easy salt, pepper. A little mustard in there. I'll show you. I'll bring you some. I'll bring you deer gravy and country fried deer in the fall.
Oh, I found the number.
You did?
It's actually 14 kangaroos per every Uruguayan citizen. There are 48 million kangaroos in Australia.
That seems a little outrageous.
There are 3,457,380 inhabitants of Uruguay.
I feel like they need to get that under control.
What do you have? Do they have, like, open season on kangaroos? Like, do they ever hunt them there?
I feel like they need to. In Uruguay, especially.
Get some bladed boomerangs.
Bladed boomerangs.
I just imagine that's how they hunt.
With a boomerang.
I feel like... A boomerang was initially a weapon.
I never could get the boomerang to do the boomerang thing.
I could, but most of the time it just went on the roof.
Yeah, well, it never came back.
No, I'm pretty sure boomerangs were initially meant to be a weapon.
Are you serious?
Like, fairly confident. I could be making it up.
Did you make that? Yeah, I feel like you made that up. Now boomerang is just for social media.
Boomerang is a curved throwing stick chiefly used by the Aboriginals of Australia for hunting and warfare. Boom.
Okay.
It's probably why they haven't won any wars, the Aborigines.
Yeah.
And maybe they should upgrade their weapons.
Should I throw a boomerang at me? Is it going to make me fall down?
I just have to duck, and then it's just going to go back and hit you. You're taking yourself out. Friendly fire.
I feel like that is probably why they have not won a lot of wars. 865-546-8200. That's our number. If you want to chime in with us, you want to talk about kangaroos, we'll talk about kangaroos today. But on the other side, we'll actually get to some Vol news ahead of fall camp. Got a big recruit yesterday. We'll also continue to talk about the preview of the fall camp, what we expect, hottest questions. And we'll get to some national sports news on the other side as well. Keep it locked here on Fan Run Radio. This is The Blitz. Blitz rolls along right here on this Tuesday morning. Chance and Charlie with you. No GP3 today. He'll be back tomorrow. I'm over here on double duty, handling the Periscope for you. Hey, if you want to watch us on the Periscope, Facebook Live, go ahead and get over there at Fox Sports Onyx, also on Twitter. If you listen to the live stream, head over to fanrunradio.com. Click that live link at the top. We got a little double duty today. It's making it a little tougher on me, but we will persevere. Just like the Vols so far, ahead of Vols fall camp, which opens tomorrow. Tennessee got a big commit. I don't know if we talked about this yesterday. I'm not sure, but we got Addison Nichols on the offensive line.
Yeah, we talked about how he was
committing at one. Yeah, commit. That's yeah. Right. So Tennessee does get their guy in Addison Nichols, 4-star offensive lineman, and he commits to the Vols. And also, this is the highest recruit commit for the Josh Heupel staff so far. So big news on the front for recruiting for Heupel. We can pump the brakes a little bit. Looks like he's, you know, doing a pretty good job. He's able to pull these players in, and they all keep saying the same thing, the family atmosphere, how approachable the guy is. That's a lot of the things that we've heard from the returning players, and that's a lot of things we're hearing about prospects coming in and guys who are committing. But, yes, Addison Nichols, 4-star class of 2022 offensive lineman from Greater Atlanta Christian School in Norcross, Georgia. One of Tennessee's top targets for months. Chose Tennessee over North Carolina and Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big win when you look at this. You get him out of his home state of Georgia, and mm-hmm. you recruit him away from Georgia. You out-recruit Florida. You out-recruit USC, you know, just to get into those top schools. And then, obviously, you know, beating North Carolina, who's been recruiting really well under Mac Brown. And then, you know, beating out Ohio State, too. That's huge.
Yeah, beating out Ohio State,
you know,
for sure.
Alabama had offered him. Clemson had offered him. Florida State. LSU.
Said he grew up watching the Vols with his grandparents in Knoxville.
Feels like we've lost a lot more of those grew up Vol fans, guys, than won them lately. So. Really, I mean, no other way to look at it, but a pretty big win for Josh Heupel and his recruiting staff. You know, it's one of those guys that you can build the class around. You know, a guy like Trayvon Jackson, a guy like Addison Nichols, and then hopefully maybe you add Walter Nolan to that mix too. You know, those are the three pieces that then you could build a class around. But right now, you know, Addison Nichols, he's a guy that can help bring more talent to the University of Tennessee.
Yeah, that's what
I was. He's a guy that he can call up, you know, someone else in his class and talk about playing together and have a good pitch for that to ultimately help bolster this recruiting class. And he's a real deal offensive lineman, too.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Just outside of the top 100 in the 247 composite rankings. Just narrowly missed that. But, you know, obviously he's a guy that can still continue to make that jump. He's got the frame. You know, 6'4", 300-plus pounds. He's got those nice broad shoulders, those long arms, so he can really, you know, get those arms up into the chest plate of those defenders and really, you know, be able to control the leverage. He has a good build to just be able to anchor like that.
Yeah.
And he's a guy that can come in and more than likely, I know it's harder at the offensive line position than – you know, most other positions to play at an early state in your career, but he's a guy that, you know, should be able to come in and be able to compete for playing time right away.
Yes, so according to 247, he's 6'5", 318 pounds. Like I say, top prospect for Tennessee and Josh Heupel in his first class being assembled, the 2022 class. So you really like it. He had some great words to say about Tennessee and the environment here. Quote, really, I feel like Tennessee has a lot of opportunity for me in and out of football and just felt like home. I felt most comfortable here. He went on to say, I felt kind of like I could see myself there the next 3 to 4 years. Love to hear that. And with the connections that I've made and will make, I feel like I'll be set up better for life there than any other school.
Yeah, now you're your highest recruit in the class. And like you said, you know, making connections, those connections are important. When you're a good recruit, you know, you have that connection with others. Other people know who you are. And You know, it's a lot easier than convince people to join you to team up. But I'm excited, man. I'm excited about Esa Nichols. You know, I'm a offensive line guy through and through. I love a good offensive lineman, and Addison Nichols, you know, is one of those technically sound offensive linemen, one of those guys that gets me excited. Interior lineman.
Number three interior offensive lineman in the 2022 class. Number 107th overall prospect.
It wouldn't be crazy if he moved out to tackle just, you know, because of his size, but he projects more as a guard at the college level. He was actually, I mean, he had been regarded as a tackle prospect until recently, so he can really play either position. He is an all-star nationally, the 13th commit, just the second four-star. So, you know, you have 11 three-stars in this class. It's good to see a four-star come in, and you want to try to, you know, you've gotten your three-stars, you've gotten your base, you know, your base to the salad. You've got your romaine lettuce in there with all your three-stars. But, you know, it's time to bolster this class a little bit. Let's add a little more to this class. Get your toppings in there. You know, Addison Nichols, Trayvon Jackson, you know, the wide receiver from Memphis. Those are some of your nice salad toppings. You know, you still need to add more in there. Maybe get a little dressing. Walter Nolan and some of those other big fish out there.
Where's the salad comparison coming from? It's a good one, though.
Oh, thanks.
Good job. You just come up with that?
Yeah, I did.
Good job.
Boom.
Hey, Charlie. Big brain on Charlie. Innovative back there. I like how he did his commit.
It was a weird one. It was goofy. It gave me goofy vibes. I watched it, and I was like, yeah, this guy definitely used to be an Eagle Scout.
Yeah.
Because he did. He is a former Eagle, or I guess not former. You just are an Eagle Scout.
Yeah, you're an Eagle Scout. Once an Eagle Scout.
For life.
For life. It's a top-notch honor. But, yeah, he did on CBS Sports HQ. But he actually committed, he says, about a week or two ago, I guess, on his visit here. But he told Coach Heupel he did not want to publicize it. He said he was riding up the elevator with him. I just looked at him and said, you know what? I'm going to commit today. Just really random. And then he did it. Said he went to the office, had a little fun with it. Quote, I basically just acted like I wasn't ready to commit and I wasn't really interested in Tennessee. It was a really, really kind of not nice thing because he got really worried. But it was really funny because the reaction when I told him was priceless. He said, well, you know, I think I'm going to commit today. And he stops doing anything, sits there, and is like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. Then he gets up and starts jumping up and down like a kid in a candy shop. And he's like, yeah, let's go. So he had a lot of fun with that. So
that's goofy. I like that. I don't know what's goofier, though, him messing around with Heupel like that or just the image in my head that pops up of Josh Heupel jumping up and down like a child.
He's having a lot of fun.
Yeah, let's go. Woo.
He said, that's what I'm saying about what people are saying about Josh Heupel. Quote, I can just go in there and talk to him like he's a dad away from home. Not like other schools don't have that. It's just I feel like Tennessee just kind of felt more so like that.
Yeah, I mean, each time you get a new coach, there will be those buzzwords.
No, I'm saying people say that.
And there will be, you know, those common themes among recruits, you know, with you had the brick by brick and the building the program from the ground up and restoring Tennessee to its natural state with Butch. You know, you had your different spiels with Pruitt and with Dooley and all that, with Lane. And the common theme clearly under Josh Heupel through his first, I guess, what we're like 5 months now, you know, through his first 5 months has been family. It's been about the relationship building, which is important. You know, I think a team that plays for each other rather, you know, for themselves usually plays better. A team that has that connection. You know, it reminds me of the Ohio State team that upset Alabama with Ezekiel Elliott and Cardale Jones at quarterback. That was one of the most well-connected teams I've seen in a long time, and they weren't as talented as Alabama, but they smoked them. They did. And, you know, part of it is they just were vibing right. The vibe is important in the locker room. The chemistry, just the way that you feel about your teammate makes you less likely to quit, you know, on the team, on yourself, in games. If I had to choose from the different things that these coaches have implemented, trying to implement a family-like environment would probably be my personal choice of which one I liked best. I don't want that to be recency bias or saying that because, you know, he's the current head coach, but I prefer that. Bob Shoup told me one time when I was, like, in high school, back at one of those recruiting events.
What did he say?
I met him after the event. I was like, oh, Bob, like, you know, we're going to be good this year.
Did he say Bob or Coach Shoup?
Coach Shoup.
Coach, yeah.
And he's like, well, you know, the most important things are the ships, relationships, and championships. And then he just walked away, just cool as the other side of the pillow.
Walked away like in the...
It's what his voice sounds like, too, by the way. The sunset behind him
and like... Like he was riding,
put the sunglasses on,
yeah, little, riding away
like
on a,
early
on a,
2000s, on a like late 90s music
on,
plays.
On a horse into the sunset, little 80s like montage as he walked away. Deal with it. Yeah, like you said, Nichols plans to try to recruit and get some guys in here. He does plan to join the Vols as early enrollee in January. He said he's going to hit it head on as far as trying to get other guys to consider Tennessee who hasn't. He's also going to reach out to 5-star defensive tackle Walter Nolan soon to get his input on some stuff, and it'll be good. So
what if Walter Nolan decides he hates Addison Nichols then he goes away from Tennessee?
Don't be calling me, bruh. Me calling me, talking about where I'm going.
Man,
that would suck.
I don't like Eagle Scouts.
That would suck. So that is a big commit for Tennessee. That's what we love to hear. We love to see those type of things early on. Like you say, everything still has to pan out. Guy has to come in and do it. Has to, you know, get the job done still in itself. But right now on paper, that's a good start for Josh Heupel and crew.
You ever just worry about that, or you think coaches ever worry about that in the back of their heads? Like
if one recruit's talking to another recruit, and it's going to scare him off?
No, I'm saying, yeah, like what if they get, you know, some big commit in their class that's going to try to do a lot of recruiting, you know, boots on the ground among his peers, but his peers don't like him. And that ends up hurting your class. You think coaches are ever subconsciously like wondering about that?
Coaches are head cases and
just like,
about
man, I wonder if you know, what if they hate Addison Nichols and no one wants to play with him and now they don't come here?
Yeah, that,
or you know, what if Trayvon Jackson, you know, pissed off the 5-star receiver that we're trying to get at a camp one time, and now there's no way.
Yeah, I bet you they do worry about that. Also, another 4-star class of 2023 defensive lineman Tennessee is reaching out to is Tamarian Parker of Central High School in Phoenix City, Alabama. He announced his top 7 college choices over the weekend in a post on Twitter. And the Vols are currently among one of his favorites. Florida, Georgia, Michigan, North Carolina, A&M, and Penn State also joined Tennessee on the list of front runners for 6'4", 241-pound Parker. So,
thank God.
What's that?
Said thank God.
Oh,
one
yeah.
The top 7.
I thought you had something else. My bad. Oh, he's also ranked the number 151 overall prospect, number 30 defensive lineman in that 2023 class, and number 10 rising junior from the state of Alabama. So, Tennessee gave him his second offer in January. On the same day, he picked up his first offer from Florida State. So, he's got a lot of offers out there. He's born in Knoxville, though. He's born in Knoxville and has some relatives who still live in the area. So, that's somebody else to keep an eye on. That's 2023 class, but Josh Heupel's hitting the ground running, trying to beef up Tennessee football and restore it back to the Tennessee culture that once was. 865-546-8200 is our number. On the other side, we'll continue to talk about Vols football. Let's go ahead and get to some camp ideas. Also, you got two Vols who are leaving the program due to injuries. We'll give you those names on the other side. This is the Blitz, and this is Fan Run Radio. I eat that lunch. Yeah. Welcome back to the Blitz. Chance and Charlie back in the AM with you. A couple more segments in this first hour talking a little Vol news. It's in our blood now. It's time with Fall Camp Eve. Fall Camp Eve. It's inevitable that we're going to be talking more and more about the Tennessee football team. Hey, and it's only 30 days until it's football time in Tennessee. Not until there's college football because we got the week 0 games. So that's what, like,
this month, Chance.
Yeah, 28 days.
We got football this month.
28, 27 days away until we have week 0.
You know what the first game of the year is?
North Dakota State.
The very first one? I don't know either. I'm about to figure out.
Oh, okay.
When do we get the AP poll? It's got to be soon, right?
Yeah, preseason AP poll. Got to be coming out soon. Definitely, probably in the next couple weeks.
I don't know when the first game is because on that first Saturday, 3 of the 5 games are still to be determined, but the three that are to be determined on the start time are in New Mexico,
okay,
Fresno, California, and San Jose. So I'm imagining those will not be the first three because they're out west. I imagine the first game of the year is none other than Nebraska and Illinois on Fox at 1 p.m. on Saturday, August 28th.
Nice. Nebraska, Illinois? Not a bad little game to start off the season.
25 days. Oh, can't come soon enough.
Yeah, 25 days till there's college football back, people. Like you said, 30 days until it's football time here in Tennessee with the kickoff against Bowling Green on that Thursday night. Bruh. SEC Network. Underneath the lights.
Thursday night. Oh, my. I keep forgetting that we're playing Thursday night.
Thursday night. Underneath the lights, baby.
That's just, it's weird.
Dr. Danny did it.
And Wednesday, the day before, more importantly, we have the Montgomery kickoff with UAB and Jacksonville State.
Also going.
I don't know. It's just, I was looking at the ESPN
app. That's Dion, right?
And it says, no, Dion is at Jackson State.
Jacksonville State, that's right.
A OVC. Better, so like, they're a team
Jacksonville
that,
State's OVC.
Yeah, and they're a good program. They're the ones that beat Auburn.
Yeah, beat Auburn 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Like, I think that was like seven.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like it wasn't that long.
Because I was not in school yet, but I was at the University of Tennessee to watch Tennessee play Ohio that day when Ohio had Terrell Basham. So that had to have been 2016.
Really? Was it that long ago? They almost beat Auburn.
Almost beat Auburn. They took them to overtime.
2018. No, that's not right. You're right. 2015. You are correct.
Ooh.
You are correct. Big brain on Charlie. Very knowledgeable. It just doesn't feel like it, man. COVID.
It's messed with my perception.
COVID just took away years out of out of our life. Like,
did you ever watch?
Even though it didn't, but it did.
Did you ever watch Love Is Blind?
I think so. Is that a reality show?
Yeah, it was the one that Netflix did that got really popular where you talk to the people through the walls that ever meeting them, and then you could propose. They came out with the after show to that, the 2 years later, and I was watching it with one of my friends, and we were arguing about it. I was like, no, this show came out in like 2018. It was during COVID, the very start, February. February 2020 is when that came out.
Oh, man, yeah, February of 2020. 11 episodes, one season. Love Is Blind. I do remember that show. Man, COVID was wild. Pandemic was wild.
Tiger King.
Ha. Huh. Who can ever forget Tiger
King? He's free, by the way. Did you see that?
Is he out?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. He's definitely going to have some type of movie or some documentary come out then. Right?
Well,
some
I think
show.
They're making a movie where Nicolas Cage
is playing him.
And Tara Reid is making her elegant comeback into
is
film.
Is she going to be
Carol Baskin?
Carol Baskins? Well, hey, tough break for a couple of former, but Riley Locklear, offensive lineman, and also Austin Pope. They have both retired from football due to injuries. After undergoing two back surgeries in the span of months in 2020, tight end Austin Pope played his final season eligibility, tried to come back this year, and is having to leave the program on the eve of the 2021 season because, quote, my body cannot put up with abuse anymore, unfortunately. He's a wide receiver at Christian Academy of Knoxville, CAK, but became a physical run-blocking tight end during his Tennessee career, started 11 games in 2019, played through multiple minor injuries, including a partially torn hamstring, to demonstrate toughness. But he's looking forward to more passing opportunities in the passing game under first-year coach Josh Heupel. And I know that Russell and Bear had him on yesterday afternoon, too. I listened to a lot of things he said about, you know, how he came in and under Butch and Jerry Pruitt, more of a hard-nosed tight end that's going to be – he became a blocking tight end. This guy's a wide receiver. And he said he was really excited about Heupel coming in because it was opened up the playbook, and he was going to be able to, you know, be more of a pass-catching receiver as he was coming into the program, but pass-catching tight end. But unfortunately, the injuries have done it. He said, quote, it definitely wasn't my decision to medically retire from football. However, he talked to team doctor, Dr. Chris Klink, and the neurosurgeon who performed his previous back surgeries. And those consultations, along with conversations with his family, led to the decision that, quote, it's not best for me to continue playing football. So that sucks, man. Hey, when a person's career is cut short because of injuries, you can always take it if it's cut short because they don't have enough talent. They don't have the work ethic. They just don't have it. They were overrated coming out of high school. Whenever you got somebody out there that's working really hard, then they just don't have the body anymore. That really sucks.
Yeah, it's sad to see. I mean, Austin Pope.
It's life, though.
Austin Pope was a likable guy. You know, like you mentioned, a local guy, a guy that I was kind of excited. I mean, not just specifically him, but just, you know, his position in general, a position group I'm excited to see that hasn't really been utilized. I mean, we had Dominic Wood Anderson, Pruitt's first year, and he still didn't really use them the way he could
Never did.
But, I mean, we're going to go from, I mean, the tight end being a glorified fullback just in that H-back spot to now hopefully involving them in the passing game. And we have some tight ends that nobody really knows about that have been nothing but an extension of the offensive line for the most part that we're going to hopefully see get a chance to get in some space and catch some footballs and move the chains.
Yeah, Pope's departure puts a lot more pressure on guys like Princeton Fant, Jacob Warren. They're now your veterans in that locker room. And then you also have Miles Campbell, who made some noise during the spring. So you still got it. You know, it's a pretty damn good depth there, but you hate losing one of the guys that's, you know, been here for quite a long time and gave it his all for Tennessee. Also retiring, like I said, Riley Locklear. He spent four seasons playing here at Tennessee, suffered a season injury last season, and rehab and surgeries coming off those issues have forced him to also retire. Played in 24 games during his career at Tennessee, making four starts along the way. And this does kind of hurt your depth up front somewhat, but you still got Cade Mays, Cooper Mays, Jerome Carvin, K-Ron Calvert, and more. So they should be okay, but you like to see depth on your offensive lineman just in case anything happens. You always want to see a lot of depth there. Riley Locklear, he's pretty good, though. He's decent. I feel like they moved him around a lot, too. Jeremy Pruitt didn't.
Yeah, he was one of those really versatile offensive
Yeah, like hybrid. They moved him around to a lot of different positions, though. So there is some of your notes and preview, some of your housekeeping notes to keep up with the Vols football team as they head into fall camp starting tomorrow. They'll be practicing early, right, for fall camp? I think they kick it off pretty early in the morning. I think they're going to be
probably.
Yeah, probably trying to avoid some of that heat.
Luckily, it's a pretty good weather.
And have tomorrow as the start of fall camp. You always have the start of the fall media availability with coaches.
That
and
starts today, though, I think, right? The media availability begins today.
I'm sorry, that is today. That'll be at noon. So we will be off the air, but we'll be listening to that and maybe Talk Sports guys will have some quotes and sound for you on that. What are you laughing for?
Nothing.
865-546-8200.
I think we might get the quarterbacks today from what I saw.
Quarterbacks? I know they said there's going to be some a couple offensive players with them as well, but you'll have head coach Josh Heupel, coordinators Tim Banks, and Alex Golish out there with Josh Heupel. For today, they'll be addressing all of the local media on the preview of fall camp. Fall camp eve, baby.
I really, really appreciate Josh Heupel's willingness to have that rapport with the media.
Heupel will get on there at noon. You'll have Tim Banks. He'll be on the podium about 12:30 and Golish at 12:50. This will all be streamed live on the Tennessee Athletics YouTube channel. And at Vol_football, Twitter, and Facebook. So if you want to catch that or go back and watch that. But, yeah, they will hit the practice field tomorrow morning with the first practice of fall camp. And then, like I said, getting ready for that September 2nd game against Bowling Green. Gotta love it. Man, I can't believe we are this close to football season being kicked off right again. It really does feel like it's been such a long time, but – it was a quick off season, people. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. That is our number. We'll come back on the other side, and we'll wrap up hour number one, get you set for hour number two. Please keep it locked here on Fan Run Radio.
Estelle, we about to get down. Who the hottest in the world right now? Just touched down in London town. Bet they give me a pound. Tell them put the money in my hand right now. Set up a motor, we need more seats. We just sold out all the floor seats.
Take me on a trip, I'd like to go someday.
Great song, great song. Hey, back here on the Blitz. Thank you for tuning in live on Fan Run Radio. Also, fanrunradio.com. AMB like apps. We got one of those. Take us wherever you travel with the Fan Run Radio app in app stores, wherever your app stores are sold. We'll go ahead and just end this with more football talk to get out of here. Just to recap, I saw an article on 247 where they went through the entire football coaching staff in its entirety to give some salary stuff if people forgot. First up, Josh Heupel. We know about him. But his assistants, maybe you know how much they were making. Offensive coordinator, tight ends coach Alex Golish, $750,000 per year, three-year deal. I'm hoping he's going to be pretty good. I know he's like,
I mean,
him and Heupel have been together for a while.
So with this coaching staff, right, it feels like we haven't been able to develop a quarterback since God knows when.
And that's what they've done.
And that's what's most exciting about this staff to me is there are a lot of areas where, you know, maybe they have their shortcomings or maybe you'd want more, but certainly their track record shows that surely they can develop a quarterback here.
Yeah,
they've sure. They have to be able to develop a quarterback here, right?
They've done it every stop with the Sooners.
Or are we just cursed? Like, are they going to come here and this be the first place that they can't develop a quarterback?
I sure hope not.
And that's, you know, that's the deciding factor in college football right now. Is
can you
the quarterback?
I mean, quarterback play.
Look at LSU when the 1 year of production that they got out of Joe Burrow leading them to a national championship when really. Their coaching staff isn't anything stellar. They had Joe Brady, obviously, and Aranda at that point, but it feels like the one way for Tennessee to really be able to get out of the hole that they're in is to luck their way into a generational quarterback talent. I mean, basically, like, the one way to speed up a rebuild or to get out of a rebuild, which, unfortunately, we've been in a rebuild for, you know, roughly 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
But though, you know, the one way to get out of it is to land that one quarterback that is just so talented that he wins regardless.
That he wins regardless, and then that he can bring other guys in when they see his talents. Like, I want to go play with that guy. So you are correct on that.
And you know, I feel like this coaching staff, out of all the coaching staffs we've had in this entire,
they're the best
rebuild,
for quarterbacks.
They are the best for quarterbacks. I mean, so I guess they're the most likely to be able to make that happen. Mm-hmm. Not saying that it's likely at all, but if a staff is going to,
it's going to be this staff.
Yeah,
and I think we got some good ones. Joey Hasley, the quarterbacks coach who's followed Heupel at every stop, including the Sooners, Utah State, Missouri, and also UCF. After he took 2 years off, the 35-year-old is scheduled to make $350,000 this year. He's somebody that, you know, a lot of these guys are talking about too. Jerry Mack, running backs coach. He'll be making $400,000. Memphis native, hired from Rice, where he spent the past four seasons as offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. Former head coach, has spent 3 seasons in North Carolina Central, leading the football championship, the FCS, I'm going to have to say that, to a 31-15 record. Cody Burns, wide receivers coach. His salary is kind of interesting, $300,000 this year, $425,000 in 2022. And a $125,000 retention bonus if he remains at Tennessee through the regular season finale of the 2022 season. So they got a lot of high hopes for him, even adding loyalty bonus because they feel like some people might poach him, I'm guessing. Glenn Ellerby, our offensive line coach, that's where you make the money. $750,000. He spent the past five seasons, spent the past five seasons with Heupel at UCF and Missouri combined. 41-year-old former Middle Tennessee State offensive lineman. Going down the list, Tim Banks, he's going to get 1.3 this year, 1.4 next year, and 1.5 in 2023 on his three-year contract. As we all know, he spent the last five seasons as co-coordinator and safeties coach at Penn State with James Franklin. Then my guy, this guy does the work, Rodney Garner, hell of a recruiter. We know about his time at Auburn, $550,000 this year, $625,000. In 2022, and he will also get a retention bonus of $150,000 if employed through February 15th of 2023. One of the best recruiters in the nation. Also, Mike Eckler, the Peppers. This is our Peppers guy, our special teams coordinator, outside linebackers coach. He's all jacked up on Red Bull. $350,000 is what he will make upcoming year. A couple more coaches, we'll be done with this. Brian Jean Mary, linebackers coach, scheduled to make $550,000. Tennessee paid a hefty buyout to Michigan to pluck him away. So He better ball. He better ball. Willie Martinez, second stint with Willie back on the hill. 425,000 in 2021 and 450,000 in 2022.
Look, man, I don't know about all this fancy money stuff you're rattling off, but what I do know is I saw four members of the football staff yesterday in Publix, all getting pub subs, all specifically the chicken tender sub. And that right there, Chance Collins, tells me all I need to know.
Was it hypo?
No, no. It was just,
but because sometimes if it was hypo, it could have been Weston the Fish Brown as well. My daughter gonna love this chip.